Welcome to Financial Perspectives, the podcast. Join the team at Foster Group and our expert guests as we explore a variety of subjects that could impact your financial life. We will cover timely economic and financial market news, a wide range of personal financial planning ideas, and investment topics. Ultimately, we want to encourage educated optimism and do our best to provide valuable insights to help you navigate your financial journey with confidence. Please stick around at the end for important disclosure information. More information about Foster Group can be found in our ADV brochure at fostergrp.com.
So when someone looks at the market turmoil du jour, one question that gets asked regularly is whether or not it's different this time. You know, because the world is complex, there's usually not one single cause for the big event that's getting our attention. It's been helpful for me to split that single question into two questions. The first one is, what is different this time? And the second, what is the same this time? After answering those two questions, I think then we're ready to answer the underlying question, which is, I think, should I change anything in my portfolio? Which is another way of asking, should my expectations of future market returns and associated risks change? In answering question number one, I think there are obviously things that are different during each and every big market cycle. The catalyst for the change in direction is almost never specifically the same thing. Think about the catalyst for the last four U.S. stock market downturns of over 20%. The dot-com bust, which began on September 1st of 2000, was exacerbated by the 9/11 bombings in 2001. The great financial crisis downturn started in October of 2007 and was largely caused by bad mortgage lending practices and mortgage-related derivative investment products. The COVID-19 downturn started in late January of 2000. We all know the cause for that. The fourth 20% drawdown started in January of 2022 and was induced by the combination of higher inflation and then the Fed's action to raise interest rates to fight it. In 2025, we have a market that at its worst was almost 20% off the previous market high point, which was achieved in February of 2025. Now, most investors agree that the U.S. threat of global tariffs and the turmoil they could cause are the primary, though not really the only, catalysts for this latest volatility. So there you have it. Five drawdowns, five different main culprits. So when you look at a plot of these downturns in what's called a drawdown chart, where you only see the market movement when it falls from a market high point, it can look pretty grim. This kind of chart isolates the downside volatility and gives you no information about what happened after the market recovered. So, five U.S. market downturns, four of over 20%, and five different catalysts in those periods. You'd be hard-pressed not to observe that each one met the test of, hey, this time it is different, at least when we're looking for likely causes and contributors. So now for the second question, what is the same this time? You know, I think that list is a bit longer. First of all, there was fear, anxiety, and regret among many investors over the near-term losses in each of those instances. There were also expressed concerns about whether the apparent causes could be fixed. Could we get through this? Second, markets continued to function. There were buyers and sellers of stocks and bonds in every market every day, with the exception of a few days around 9/11 due to the physical destruction in New York City, a prime location for global market activity. The reason we know that prices fell was because markets stayed open and investors could buy and sell if they wanted to. Prices are just a function of willing buyers and sellers transacting. You could say that the underlying market structure stayed functional, resilient, and secure each time. A third thing that remained the same was that businesses did everything they could possibly do to minimize losses and find opportunities to return to profitability. Some were more successful than others. In the global financial crisis again, Lehman Brothers did go bankrupt and other financial companies were forced to merge. A fourth thing that remained the same was that the Federal Reserve did all it could by lowering interest rates and providing liquidity to keep bond and cash markets functioning, or by raising interest rates to fight inflation as they did in 2022. A fifth thing that remained the same was the federal government stepping in where it could to stem the negative momentum in markets and the economy. Examples you might remember included bailing out a few banks, insurers, and automotive companies in 2008, funding private pharmaceutical companies to expedite a vaccine for the COVID-19 virus, and then providing cash to businesses and individuals during that time to stimulate the economy. But the most important thing for investors, that was the same each time, in each of the four previous declines, a market recovery followed the market decline, and ultimately, new market highs were established and exceeded. When you look at a chart of the performance of the S&P 500 from January of 1989 through May 30th of 2025, you see a line that goes up significantly over the years. Overall, the S&P 500 rose at an average annualized rate of just over 11% across the almost 35 years from January 1st of 89 through March of 2025. And if I break it down by decades, well, the 1990s average annualized return was 18.21%. The 2000s average annualized return, well, it was a negative 0.95%. The 2010s saw an average annualized return of 13.56%. And the 2020s so far have seen an average annualized return of that same 13.56%. Quite a coincidence. Long-term investors, especially those with 20-year time horizons, have seen very good returns, even when enduring some anxious times and events along the way. Now, about that third question, should my market expectations change going forward? Well, here's how I express my own market expectations based on about 30 years of working as an investment advisor and then studying market history. I expect to be surprised by the timing and causes of market downturns. We all should. No one has been able to consistently pinpoint what will tip the market into decline, when it happens, or how long it's going to last. You know, I also expect that the markets will continue to function as they have in past crises. I expect that small and large businesses will do everything they can to remain or to return to profitability, which will benefit business owners, and that includes stockholders who are owners of publicly traded companies. I expect the federal government and the Federal Reserve to do what they can policy-wise to help the economy grow and to promote employment and price stability. You know, finally, and most importantly for investors, I expect markets to provide long-term positive returns to investors. These returns will likely come in spurts, and they're going to be interrupted by agonizing, fear-tempting declines. But the long-term picture for the U.S. and globally diversified stock market investor is one of expected positive returns, not guaranteed. But it would seem that an expectation of 8 to 10% for U.S. stocks would be well supported by history. As we say regularly around here, the most reasonable expectations for investors would sound like short-term agnosticism, meaning anything's possible in the short term, and long-term educated optimism. And that's what we're really talking about today when we think about the market environment, is remaining a long-term educated optimist. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate putting these things together. And if you're a podcast listener, please consider liking us or giving us a review on your podcast app. We're always hoping to help more people learn and live with an educated optimism. So until next time, be well.
The previous presentation by Foster Group was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of, or as a substitute for, personalized investment advice from Foster Group or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy, or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content, will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Foster Group is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if Foster Group is engaged, or continues to be engaged, to provide investment advisory services. A copy of Foster Group's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.fostergrp.com/disclosures.